Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For our radio audience tuning in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we welcome you. For those joining us on the East Coast, those joining us on Atlanta is 106liveradio.com. We're glad you all can be with us. And then, of course, those joining us around the world through blogtalkradio.com. We're glad that you can be a part of our program again today. We have a very special guest that's kicking off this hour for us today. Susan Cain is making her first appearance on our program. She's a best-selling author and known because of her book Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World They Can't Stop Talking, and also the work she's been able to do through the Quiet Revolution. Well, this year, she's celebrating the release of a new book. It's called Quiet Power, The Secret Strength of Introverts, and it's a book that's really for kids and teens, but also as someone who is 40 years old, I have to say I took a lot from this book as well. We're going to talk to Susan not only about the work that she's been able to do, but also what it's been like for her to share with people of all ages about the importance of not only embracing who they are, but being able to celebrate their own power and to be able to share that with the world. Susan, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. It's so great to be here with you.
Oh, the pleasure is definitely all mine. As I was saying to you before we went on the air, you know, I was excited to be able to speak with you about Quiet Power. I had not read Quiet before, but now that I've read this one, I have to go back now, I think, and read that one too, because I was so inspired by Quiet Power, Susan, because even though, again, it is geared towards a younger audience, I think it has so many great lessons and points that all of us can appreciate. First of all, Susan, what has it been like for you to hear from people, not only about the response from Quiet, but also about how this new book is resonating with them?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it really is the most amazing thing in the world. I'm pretty sure if somebody used a computer program to go through all the reader emails that I get to figure out what is the word that is used most frequently, I'm quite sure the word would be permission, because what I hear over and over again from people is, that just the ideas of the power of introverts in an extrovert culture, that gives people the permission to be themselves, for many of them, for the first time in their lives. And, you know, after I published the first book for adults, I heard from so many who said, if only I had been granted this permission when I was a kid, my whole life could have turned out differently. And so I realized I really wanted to get to kids while they're still young and tell them what their superpowers are, and that, yeah, it's going to sometimes feel difficult because you are living in a culture that rewards extroversion, but you should stick to your guns, and there's so many amazing introverts who have gone before you in whose footsteps you can follow.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I think one of the big things that was a takeaway from me in Quiet Power, Susan, and that was that, you know, it's so sad that we've gotten to a place, and I think it's, you know, unfortunately, even though we've had so many advancements, I think in some ways it's getting worse, that we almost limit, you know, what power looks like or what a success looks like. And if you're not doing it this way, then there's something wrong with you. And if you're not a part of this crowd, there's something wrong with you. You know, what has it been like for you to show people, especially in this book, again, you know, that it doesn't matter about, you know, fitting in. It really is about allowing your gift to be able to stand out and make room for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. Like, the idea is that you really need to draw on your own strengths. And we tend to think in this culture that there's only one way of being social, that there's only one way of leading, that there's only one way of selling, let's say, and that the pathway is a very extroverted, gregarious, sort of type A alpha role, and that if you're anything other than that mode, you're somehow lesser than. And it's just not true. So it's like this crazy distortion field. And that's what I really wanted to show people. You know, if you can just look at so many examples from, I don't know, Bill Gates to J.K. Rowling to Adele, like there are so many examples out there of people who are out there shaking up the world or just living their lives happily, with a much quieter, more thoughtful, more deliberate approach to life.
Yeah, exactly. And again, because of those examples, we're able to see what's possible for us. Susan, I mentioned it's your first time on our program, so I have to ask you, when did you first realize that your own personal power and strength?
Well, you know, I think in some ways I was really lucky because, well, for two reasons. One is I grew up in a family that is quite quiet and scholarly, you know, in family culture. So my preference to want to, like, you know, go to the library and take out 7 books a week and read them and, like, go get the next batch the following week, like, that was really normal. Not just normal, but, you know, celebrated in my family.
Sure.
And then the other thing, because I was a reader, you know, it so happens that most authors are introverts, and therefore the protagonists in all the books that I was reading tended to be kids who were quietly having incredible adventures. And so I saw myself in those characters, and I saw a great, admirable version of myself. And so I feel like from that I gained an inner strength that not every introverted kid has, because what I hear from many of them is that they're growing up in family systems where, you know, the dominant culture is extroverted, and the message that is sent to them is, why can't you be more like your outgoing brothers and sisters, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I feel like I was really lucky that way. But even for me, you know, it was like the minute I left my family system to go to camp or that kind of thing, I was very aware that there was a kind of disconnect between my way of being and the way you were, quote, supposed to be. And I didn't have a language or a structure for thinking about this mismatch until I was much older. But it's certainly something I've been grappling with all my life, as I believe most young introverted children are.
Right. I think that is it. And you mentioned books. That leads me to one of the two examples that you share in the book that I wanted to share with our audience, Susan. And one of them is a girl named Robin who also shares your love of books. It's in the chapter 12, Changing the World the Quiet Way. And in this chapter, we meet Robin, who's not only an avid reader, but doesn't just want to have that for herself. She wants to be able to share that, the joy that books can bring. She wants to be able to share that with other people, and she decides to have this book drive. And what happens is this, and I'll read a part of it, and then we'll talk a little bit about it, Susan, about this example for all of us. It's on page 184 and 185. The books and the money begin trickling in. By that summer, after 6 months of work, Robin and her classmates had collected 1,177 books. She discovered that she'd need about $600 in shipping costs, and since she was a little short of that, she sold some of the extra books to a used bookstore to make up the difference. Then she gathered a few friends and family members, transformed her house into a mailroom, and turned on some music, and the group deftly packed 23 enormous boxes of books. There were all kinds of books, children's stories, textbooks, and even an atlas. When Robin finally delivered the boxes to the post office, handling off the fruit of all her labor, she felt an enormous sense of relief. And this is the part that got me. More than anything, though, she felt proud. That pride turned into confidence both in herself and in her ability to accomplish her goals. I mean, to have an example like that, Susan, is so great, but I love the fact that Robin was able to feel proud. Is that something that you hope that readers of this book, especially those who may have felt as though they weren't fitting in, being able to get to a place where they can be proud of what they're able to do in their lives?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the reason that I wanted to give examples of stories like Robin's is that we tend to think that pride in ourselves, you know, a healthy pride in ourselves and self-esteem comes from some magical place. And I think what we don't realize is that actually it just comes from having accomplished stuff in the world and from having a sense of mastery. And so if you are a young introvert or really an introvert of any age or really anybody, the key to confidence is to set yourself some kind of goal, something you think is worth doing, and go and do it. And that's where your sense of pride is going to come. And so for an introverted child, the thing to realize is that you might want to set yourself a goal that is meaningful for you. You know, so maybe another kid is doing something kind of more conventionally social, but for Robin, it was organizing a book drive and doing it her way and making it happen. And then she felt so great when she was done. So that's really the key. It's like, how do you find your niche? And within that niche, how do you find a sense of mastery and accomplishment? And from there, everything follows.
Yeah. And that leads me to the second example in the book that you share. And this is one that I think a lot of people can relate to. I could relate to this one for sure, Susan. It's found in Chapter 4, Quiet Leaders. And there we were able to meet a young boy named Davis. Who Davis is someone who was able to do well in school, to find his place, but also, of course, to be able to realize that he had the ability to lead. There was this one point in his story that you share in the book where people were, you know, almost like, okay, who is this guy? You know, he's not one of us, meaning he wasn't one of the popular kids. But the thing is that David was able to do amazing things, and this is what you share about him on page 69 of the book. David's triumph, because he learned to draw on his own natural strength. He concentrated on substance, not style. Instead of trying to be as social as the most popular kid in school, he focused on being a great candidate. He addressed hard-hitting issues, the things that he noticed as a natural observer. He didn't let his discomfort stop him. He was brave to put himself forward like that, and everyone saw it. That, to me, it makes me smile just reading it, because I think that's the thing, to be able to go against what is expected and to be able to just be who you are and seeing the doors that open up for you. Is that what you hope, you know, for not only young readers, Susan, but also for us adults, too, as we reflect on these examples, that we can have, you know, things happen for us that other people thought may have been impossible just by being who we are?
Absolutely. So I come, again, back to the idea of drawing on your own strengths, which is what Davis did. You know, he was running against one of the most popular girls in school, and she was running on a platform of more parties for everybody. But Davis did his Davis thing, which is, you know, he went deep and got really thoughtful about what he could do to make the school a better place. And he ran on that platform of, you know, this really deep, thought-out campaign proposal. And the students saw it, and they recognized it, and they voted for him. And I see the same thing happen with introverted leaders, as you're suggesting, who are adults. So I'm thinking, for example, of a really amazing guy named Douglas Conant, who until recently was the CEO of Campbell Soup, very shy, very introverted. When he took over at Campbell, the employee engagement ratings were at the bottom of the Fortune 500. By the time he retired, they were all the way at the top. And he accomplished that, again, by drawing on his natural strengths. So, for example, he knew that he wasn't a kind of glad-hander, but he really wanted to connect with his employees. So he would sit down and write to his employees personal letters of appreciation and gratitude for their individual contributions. And during his time at Campbell, he wrote 30,000 of these letters. So 30,000 personal letters. That was Douglas Conant's way as a CEO of connecting. An extroverted CEO would probably have a very different style of connecting. And the point is that they're both okay. They're different, and they're okay. Each one is good. One isn't better, one isn't worse. They're just different. That's all.
That's right. I think that's it. And again, it's one of those things that not looking at something as being wrong, I think it's just looking at you being you and being able to walk in that and to be an example for others. I think that's the thing that Robin and Davis both had in common, Susan, is that they were examples, something that probably many people would never have imagined for them. You have in this book, as you're giving these examples, you, of course, give the examples of young people, but you also give some great guidance for instructors as well as for parents. I mean, was that also a big part of why you wanted to do this book, to be able to share with them ways that they can encourage and inspire and be able to allow those young introverts to realize how valuable their voices were?
Oh, yeah. No, that's huge for us, is reaching parents and educators. It's a really, really big deal because, of course, those are the guides, you know, in these children's lives. And I know from all the years I've been doing this work, how hungry parents and educators are for guidance, really, on how best to parent and teach these kids. So, in fact, one of the things we've done, we've created a quiet schools network where we are working with educators who are interested in learning how to harness the hearts and minds of the quiet half of their student population. So we're starting this summer with a cohort of 50 educators from schools all over the country. And our goal ultimately is to be in every single school and working with parents as well. So it's really exciting. I think we're really just at the beginning. The book is a crucial part of this wider movement.
Yeah. And I think that is and one of those things, too, that is so powerful, Susan. Susan, you know, one of the things you talk about is, you know, speaking, you know, how you can help young introverts as far as speaking. Of course, when I posted on Facebook today about your being on, you know, one of the comments that was made was, of course, a talk that you were able to give and the response to it. I mean, does that still blow your mind? The fact that not only that just by your sharing your voice, you've been able to resonate with so many, but you've been able to, just by living your life, be a source of inspiration for others.
Oh, gosh, yeah. that TED Talk to me is the craziest thing ever. I think that's probably what you're referring to, that I gave a TED Talk in 2012. And it touched such a nerve in people. And these days I'm actually quite comfortable with public speaking, but I never thought I would see that day. I used to be terrified of it, and I was terrified on the day I took the stage at TED. So the thing that carried me through was just knowing how passionately I believed in what I wanted to say, the message that I was trying to get across. So it thrilled me no end, to think that the message actually landed and that so many other people now are carrying it forward.
Right. I think that is it. And now, of course, through that TED Talk and then, the book Quiet that I referenced earlier, I think it really does say so much, because I think it says also for a lot of us is to realize again that we are not alone. I think that's another thing that I took away from Robin's story in particular, Susan, that resonated with me, was the fact that even though it wasn't a lot of focus on it in that chapter, she didn't do this by herself. But she was the spark. She was the one who's able to rally the troops, just as Davis was able to rally the troops. It may not have been, what people thought would happen, but that was the end result. I mean, is that also part of this work for you, whether it's through this book or through the work that you're doing with the Quiet Revolution, for people to really realize that until you do something, you never know what can come of it?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that what you're getting at with that question is the idea that we need to really expand what we mean by the word leadership, because many introverts, and especially younger ones, think they can't be leaders. They think that's not who they are. But leadership is really a much more expansive and transformative concept than, are you the sort of prototypical, charismatic, type A person at the head of the show. And there are a lot of ways to bring people with you and achieve change. And I think Robin and Davis are just two examples of that, but really there are so many different ways to be a leader. And so I really wanted to encourage, especially younger people, to think more expansively about what that could mean for them.
I think that's it. I think that is the power. And again, we have such great examples. We have examples like Susan Cain and others who are showing us by the way that they're able to live life and make the most of life what is possible and what you can do if you only make the decision to do it. That's what Davis did. That's what Robin was able to do. That's what so many others are doing each and every day. And it's something that all of us can do, but we have to take that first step for sure. Again, everyone, Susan Cain is our guest. She's the best-selling author of the book Quiet, and the new book is Quiet Power, The Secret Strengths of Introverts, a guide for kids and teens, from the best-selling author of Quiet. And Susan, for you, I mean, what is a win for this book? I mean, what is your hope when people finish it that it will do for them?
I want it to give them the permission to be themselves. I know that once people have that permission, that there's a great paradox there, that the more people feel comfortable with being an introvert, the more effective they become in the outward-facing world. Because if you are sitting down in a classroom or sitting down at a job interview or wherever it is, secure in the knowledge that you are great the way you are, you are going to be much more able to step outside your comfort zone to make that thing happen than if you're there thinking, oh, there's something wrong with me. So I really wanted to empower introverts to know their own strengths and use those strengths because the world needs them. And I should say, too, by the way, that, you know, in addition to the book, for people who are interested in this message and connecting with others around these ideas, at Quiet Revolution, we actually have a website. It's called quietrev.com. That's the URL, quietrev.com. And that's a place, whether you're a kid or a parent or a teacher or just an adult thinking about these issues in the workplace or your life in general, it's a place that you can go to get articles and information and resources and a sense of community. So there are a lot of different ways of kind of interacting with this message.
Yeah. So make sure you all are definitely staying connected at quietrev.com. Thank you, Susan, for sharing that. And really thank you for a great conversation. This is a busy time for you with the book just coming out this month. As I said, you know, just was released in May, already a bestseller. And I think, you know, there's so much in this book that is resonating with people, and that is why I think there is such an interest in it, Susan. I'm so glad that we had a chance to talk about it today.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be here with you.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine, Susan. Thank you for that. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. For our radio audience, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come for you at the bottom of the hour. For those tuning in online, though, we're going to lose you. So if you came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Susan, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off to air. The link is already available through our social media friends. And I've already tagged Susan both on Facebook and on Twitter. So you can head over to our page at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.